tonight. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is good to worship together. Turn with me, if you would, to the Old Testament book of Numbers. We're in chapter 7 this morning. And before we dig in, study God's Word together, let's pause and seek His help in prayer. Father, as we just sang, Christ be magnified, as we now open Your holy Word, we want to see Christ magnified in the pages of the Old Testament. We want to know You better. We want to worship You. We want to grow in our relationship and our affections for You. We invite You by Your Holy Spirit to transform our hearts through the power of Your written word and Your word proclaimed. So be at work, we invite You, in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, for Your glory. We want to know You better. We want to worship You as we ought. We want to give You the praise that You deserve. So work in our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're in Numbers chapter 7. At 89 verses, this is the second longest chapter in the entire Bible. And the popular old-time radio preacher J. Vernon McGee called it a pretty monotonous chapter. One of the most remarkable chapters, the most monotonous thing I think I've ever... This is an extensive catalog of what the tribes of Israel gave to the Lord. It starts this way. On the day when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle and had anointed and consecrated it with all its furnishings and had anointed and consecrated the altar with all its utensils, we're going to pause there because one of the first things we note about this chapter is that it is chronologically out of place. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 starts by dating in the first day of the second month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. So second month. Exodus chapter 40, which is where this Numbers chapter 7 picks up, puts the completion of the tabernacle on the first day of the first month of the second year. So this chapter chronologically falls toward the end of the account of Exodus, 1 month before Numbers chapter 1. And many people are confused, but it's like, why is this out of order? Is there a problem? What's going on? But we shouldn't be surprised, because how many of our movies or stories are telling the story and then suddenly we flash back to a previous event that kind of connects and gives context and helps us understand what's going on? It happens all the time. That's exactly what we see. And as we'll go through this, we'll see that happening and why it's placed here for our understanding, to help us understand the storyline. So that's what's going on here. Numbers chapter 7, verse 2. The chiefs of Israel, heads of their fathers' houses, who were the chiefs of the tribes, who were over those who were listed, approached and brought their offerings before Yahweh. 6 wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 of the chiefs, and for each one an ox. They brought them before the tabernacle. In chapter 1, God gave the names of the chiefs of the tribes to Moses, chosen representatives of the congregation, heads of the clans of Israel, one from each of the 12 tribes. Those chosen representatives brought the gifts of the tribes, literally, before the face, or to the face of Yahweh, and to the face of His tent. And that connects us back to chapter 6, doesn't it? Yahweh bless you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you. Yahweh lift up His face or His countenance upon you. Putting this section of giving, gifts given to Yahweh, after chapter 6 makes a theological point. The gifts of the people are presented to Yahweh only in response to receiving blessings from Yahweh. His grace, His peace, His very presence, His face. You see, Yahweh's heart, as we saw last week, Yahweh's heart is to bless us. He initiates the blessing. He puts His name on us. He gives us a new identity. Our generosity is rooted in undeserved grace. It flows out of a heart that's overwhelmed by His amazing grace towards sinners like us. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in the service of the tent of meeting, and give them to the Levites, to each man according to his service." So Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two wagons and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service. Four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But to the sons of Kohath, he gave none, because they were charged with the service of the holy things that had to be carried on the shoulder. The first thing to notice here, Yahweh God accepted the offerings. This too is grace. What a privilege it is to give to the service of the Lord, to participate in what He is doing, what He is about, in honoring Him that way. This section fits here, it makes sense here, because chapters 3 and 4 outline the duties of the family groups of the Levites. The sons of Gershon, they were given two wagons because they were to transport the fabric parts of the tabernacle, the layers of the tabernacle, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, goat skins. The sons of Merari were given four wagons to assist in the transportation of the frame of the tent. That was their responsibility. Its bars, its pillars, its bases. Exodus 38 tells us that the 100 silver bases that were the foundation, they served as the foundation of this tent structure, weighed about a talent each. It was like, I look at the footnotes of my Bible, it says a talent is about 75 pounds. If you do the math, that would be about 7,500 pounds just in the silver bases of this tabernacle. Four carts, four wagons to carry that, that kind of makes sense. That fits. The Kohathites are left out though. They're given none. Why? Because they're responsible for the transport of the holy furnishings of the tent. The ark, the altars, the table, the lampstand. These holy things were not to be touched. They were not even to be looked at by them. The sons of Aaron, the priests, were to cover them, to wrap them, to package them, to insert the poles in the rings, so that then the Kohathites could safely come into the presence of these holy objects and carry them on their shoulders. If only King David would not have ignored Leviticus, or Numbers chapter 7 in his reading of his Bible. It would have spared, possibly, the life of Uzzah, 2 Samuel chapter 6. See, ignorance of God's word can have very serious consequences. What we don't know can hurt us and those around us. We do well to pay heed and to know God's word that He's revealed to us. Numbers chapter 7 verse 10, "And the chiefs offered offerings for the dedication of the altar on the day that it was anointed. And the chiefs offered their offerings before the altar. And Yahweh said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings, one chief each day for the dedication of the altar." So this allocation of oxen and wagons commenced a period of 12 days of giving. Each of the 12 tribes was to have a day to present their gifts before the Lord. And apparently they didn't take the Sabbath off, because this was 12 consecutive days of offering gifts to the Lord. Verse 12, "He who offered his offering the first day was Nashon, son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah, and his offering was one silver plate, whose weight was 130 shekels, one silver basin of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one golden dish of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull from the herd, one ram, one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nashon, son of Amminadab. What's going on here? 3-pound silver plate, a 1.7-pound bowl full with the grain offering. What's the grain offering? Well, that's what Leviticus told us. The grain offering was a common kind of a tribute to a conquering king. If we were in a city and a foreign king comes in and conquers our area and we surrender, he would demand a tribute for us to give our allegiance to this new king, to say, in exchange for your protection and for peace, we will give you part of our produce to supply for your needs. This is the kind of thing. And so in God's tabernacle, he required a grain offering to be with every sacrifice. A memorial portion of that grain would be burned up on the altar with the sacrifices to the Lord. The remainder would go to supply the needs of the priests in the tabernacle. A 1/4-pound gold dish full of this unique blend of incense, specific only to the tabernacle, only to the sanctuary, not to be used for any other use. This we see in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, the golden bowls full of incense are symbolic of the prayers of the saints. What's interesting to note here is where all these other gifts would be used in relation to the bronze altar in the entryway to the tabernacle courtyard, this gift, this gold dish of incense, this symbolizes our prayer, would access the holy place. Our prayers gain us access into the very presence of God Almighty. The bull, the ram, the lamb for a burnt offering. A burnt offering is where the entire animal would go up in smoke before the Lord. This offering is foundational to all the other sacrifices of the Old Testament system, reminding us of our sinful nature. It can't be fixed. It can't be remedied. It can't have a band-aid to make it better. Our whole sinful nature must be burned up, consumed, done away with on the altar. The male goat was for a sin offering. The sin offering dealt with specific instances of sin, where the burnt offering dealt with our sinful nature. The sin offering was for instances of sin, sins of commission. I did something I ought not to have done, and I need to bring an offering. Or sins of omission. I didn't do that which I ought to have done. James talks about that. Failing to do the good we ought to do. And then 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male yearling lambs for a peace or a fellowship offering. The peace offering celebrated the peace of God after our sins had been dealt with. Our sinful nature and our sinful actions have been paid for. The peace offering, we learn again from Leviticus, was a shared meal. It was a feast in the presence of Yahweh. Think barbecue, where some of the meat went up in smoke to Yahweh. Some was eaten by the priests. Some was eaten by the worshiper. We know we can only have true peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way for it. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. The once for all sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is our only way to access the Father and have peace with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5. This was the offering, the first day, of Nashon, son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. The only other thing we know about this guy, Nashon, was that his sister, Elisheba, became the wife of Aaron the priest, according to Exodus 6. And then according to Matthew 1, Nashon was the grandfather of Boaz, who married Ruth, who was the great-grandfather of King David, who was the ancestor of Jesus of Nazareth in the flesh. Then we read in verse 18, on the second day, Nethanel, son of Zuar, chief of Issachar, made an offering. And guess what? Exact same thing. And then in verse 24, on the third day, Eliab, son of Helon, of the chief of the people of Zebulun, and guess what? Same. On the fourth day, verse 30, Eliezer, son of Shedeur, of the chief of the people of Reuben. Verse 36, the fifth day, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, chief of the people of Simeon. 42, the sixth day, Eliasaph, son of Duel, chief of the people of Gad. Seventh day, Elishama, son of Amihud, chief of the people of Ephraim. Verse 54, the eighth day, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, chief of the people of Manasseh. Verse 60, on the ninth day, Abidan, son of Gideoni, chief of the people of Benjamin. The tenth day, verse 66, Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai, chief of the people of Dan. Verse 72, the 11th day, Hagiel, son of Ochran, chief of the people of Asher. Verse 78, the 12th day, Ahira, son of Enan, of the chief of the people of Naphtali. Each day, one of the chiefs of Israel had the honor of presenting his gift to Yahweh God. Each individual named, each one remembered, written, each tribe recognized, each gift noted. And this is a long chapter. This is a lot of parchment. Parchment was precious. And God says, yes, this matters. Write it all down. Record the gifts. Each gift was noted. Each gave the same gift, the same weight, the same quantity. None was above another. And Yahweh accepted their gifts. Yahweh is paying attention when we offer to Him. Mark chapter 12, we have an unusual thing we might think. The Lord of the temple sat down opposite the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering box. Now, we don't do that here. I don't know what anybody gives. I don't want to know what anybody gives to the church or to the Lord or to whatever. I'm not interested. I don't want to know that. We don't watch who gives what, who puts what into the offering box in the back. But Jesus watches and He takes note. And Jesus acknowledged this minuscule gift, and some people, I don't have much to give, I don't know. Jesus acknowledges a tiny, tiny gift from a widow, and He said, that gift is greater than all the others who contributed out of their wealth, out of their plenty. She gave all that she had. He recognized, He acknowledged, He honored her for that. Number 7, verse 84. This was the dedication offering for the altar on the day when it was anointed from the chiefs of Israel. 12 silver plates, 12 silver bases, 12 golden dishes, each silver plate weighing 130 shekels, each basin 70. All the silver of the vessels, 2,400 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 12 golden dishes full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, all the gold of the dishes being 120 shekels. All the cattle for the burnt offering, 12 bulls, 12 rams, 12 male lambs a year old, with their grain offering. 12 male goats for a sin offering. All the cattle for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 24 bulls. The rams 60, the male goats 60, the male lambs a year old 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. These 12 offerings from the 12 chiefs of the 12 tribes given across the span of 12 days were one offering. This was the dedication offering. There was individual distinction, recognition, but there was a unity. These many different parts make up one whole. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, each individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." The Bible is very clear James tells us every good gift is from above. 1 Corinthians 4 asks this question, what do you have that you did not receive? And that is a great question to reflect on, to think through. What do I have? What do I have that I did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You see, David acknowledged this as he prepared for his son Solomon to build the temple to the Lord in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He gave generously out of his own resources and he invited the people to give generously to this project of building a temple, the one temple in Jerusalem to the Lord. And it says in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 9, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to Yahweh. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Notice the heart matters. Really, the heart, it's all about the heart. What is my attitude? And if I'm giving grudgingly, well, just keep your money. It's fine. Don't give. Giving to the Lord loves a cheerful giver, it says. These people rejoiced. They had given willingly, with the whole heart. They offered freely. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed Yahweh in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Yahweh, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you. All things belong to God. Everything we might give to God, we are giving back to him what he first gave to us. That which belongs to him that he's entrusted to our care to steward. Of your own we have given. This is quite literally true of the Israelites. As they were delivered out of slavery in Egypt, they were slaves. What did they have? God said in Exodus 3, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. They recognized as they gave gifts to the tabernacle, they knew where they got the stuff. It was a gift from God. They were giving back to him a portion of what he had given to them. God is the original giver. Romans 11 says this, who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. The answer is no, no one, nothing. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God gave the ultimate gift. God gave the ultimate gift. For God, according to John 3, so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God gave the ultimate gift, the gift of his own son, to rescue us, to give us eternal life as we are in fellowship and relationship with him. This chapter ends with God giving us the ultimate gift, the gift of access. Number 789, when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with Yahweh, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony, from between the two cherubim, and it spoke to him. The invisible God gives us himself. He reveals himself to us. He spoke. God gave us his word. And we learn from John 1, the word was with God. And the word was God. God gives us the greatest gift, the gift of relationship with him, the gift of himself. Let's pray. Father, what a treasure it is to have your word written, and to have relationship with your word incarnate. The God who was with you, Father, and who was himself fully God, who came down to be that gift given to rescue sinners like me so that I could be invited back into your presence, invited into relationship with a holy God. Thank you for the gift that you are the original giver, that we could never repay, never put you in our debt. We are always only in your debt, as you are the original giver and the source of every good thing. Thank you for that truth. Help us to live our lives day to day in light of this truth that you are the source. You are the goal. You are the means of all things. You love us. You want to bless us. You want to transform us by your Holy Spirit. You want to make us new, give us life. Life as it was meant to be, life abundantly in relationship with you. Be at work in us today. We invite you by your Holy Spirit to transform, to open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to the truths of your word. We want to enter in. We want to know you better. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself. Thank you, Father, for giving your only Son. And thank you, Spirit, for giving us eyes to see the light of the glory of the good news in the face of our Lord Jesus. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite some of our elders to come and prepare to serve us communion. This is an opportunity for us to reflect on the gospel together. The good news that there's nothing I can do to fix myself, to save myself, to pay off the debt that I owe. God sent his only Son, Jesus, in the form of a human, to pay, as a human, to pay for my sins in full so that I could be washed clean, made new, and welcomed in. Not on my own righteousness, but on the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's credited to my account when I believe in him. This is for believers. So if you're a believer in Jesus, if your trust is only and completely in him, his finished work on the cross for you, you're welcome to take, participate. If you're not a believer, my question to you is, why not? This is our only hope. This is the only hope of humanity. We don't have any other way. Every one of us will stand before the throne one day and give account. And do you want to be judged on your performance? I don't. Or do you want to be judged on the performance of Jesus? And I'm hiding in Jesus. That's what I want. If that's what you want, you can just cry out to him right here, right now. Jesus paid the price on the cross. You can simply come to him as a sinner, acknowledging, I know what I deserve. I don't want that. I know if I were judged on my performance, what that would look like. I don't want any of that. Would you be merciful to me, a sinner? Would you extend grace, a gift I don't deserve? Would you wash me clean in the blood of Jesus? Would you make me new? Would you give me a new heart by your Holy
Spirit. I want to be transformed. I'll receive the gift. That's all we do. We come with dirty hands and say, would you cleanse me? Would you give me a gift I don't deserve? I'd invite you right now, right here in your heart, cry out to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we're going to, together as those who are believing, trusting only and completely in Jesus, we're going to take bread, which reminds us of Jesus' body broken for us on the cross, juice, which reminds us of his blood poured out to wash us clean, to make us new, to completely satisfy the just wrath of a holy God against my sin. He took that in my place so that I can enjoy nothing but his kindness, his goodness, his favor. We'll serve you bread and juice if you're a believer in Jesus. Take that, hold it in your hand, reflect on what he did for you. And once we've all been served as a body of believers, we'll take that together and give him thanks. Holy God, we stand before you. With nothing to offer, but gladly receiving gifts from your hand. Forgiveness, life, transformation, welcome, blessing upon blessing upon blessing, your undeserved grace, peace that passes understanding, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for sending your only Son to pay my price. Jesus, thank you for giving yourself up for me. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving me eyes to see the beauty of the gospel and to treasure the gift that we've been given. Thank you, Father, Son, Spirit, for what you have lavishly poured out on us. We now receive a good gift from your hand and we say thank you. Jesus' body broken for you. Take it. Jesus' blood poured out to wash sinners clean. Drink.